The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. But we need your help. From November 4th to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. This, of course, is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Did you hear that? That's called percussions when you beat the drum? What's it called?
Yeah, the percussions.
Did drumming. You hear the percussion?
Yeah.
Who played that percussion there?
I mean, I know, because I got a secret.
You got a secret?
Yeah.
But this is one of the most introduction in the history of music, when you hear it. By the Sugar Hill Gang.
Boom, boom. Bum,
you, bum, this bum. Percussion introduction, you automatically know what the song is. Mm-hmm. You automatically know what the song is. But few people know that the person who arranged, who played this on, played that percussion on the song is a Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to let Aaron Green do the honors. Kermit, play it again. Play it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can enjoy it. So you can enjoy it.
See, because not just that, right? I keep telling people, it's Caribbean people birthed hip-hop on the brownstone steps of New York, right? In the lower and upper middle class areas. Educated, articulate Caribbean people birthed hip-hop rap in the Americas. This song, Apache, Jump On It by Sugar Hill Gang, one of the leading rap hip-hop groups. The opening is arranged and composed, and I imagine played originally by the one and only John Berkeley Peanuts Taylor. We are everywhere, and with a little spatial awareness, a sense of self, a sense of space, a sense of belonging, a sense of location, we would be stronger people. All these young boy them would be rappers or them, right? They don't know that Blind Blake wrote one of the first gangster rap songs, Jones O' Jones. They don't know that Peanuts Taylor is composing music and his music was being sampled and used, right? They just don't know, and there's so much more. Why y'all think Busta Rhymes with what they call Dungeon, Lords of the Dungeon thing, the song where they reference the Bahamas. They say rah rah like a dungeon dragon, mm-hmm. And they reference the Bahamas. Why? Because they know the Bahamas. Fife Dawg from his Tribe Called Quest. Fife Dawg.
That's sometimes rhyme slow, sometimes it rhyme quick. I always loved that song, mm-hmm. In the 1990s, early 1990s.
His Fife Dawg's mother,
like a dungeon dragon. Yeah.
His mother is an acclaimed literary artist, poet, writer, academic from Trinidad.
Mm.
It's all over us and through us. All right, Mr. Nuri, thank you for that little, for giving me your secret. So now I have a secret. Now yes. We all have a secret.
Yes. Today, I want to join the echo of people who are alarmed, concerned. But I want to change the narrative to something different, to have a different type of conversation. Okay. Mind you, I also want to talk about the strike that's happened in Bahamas, yeah, but I need more information on it because what's happening now is live and I need some more understanding. But today's show, no, let me talk about Christmas first and then I go on to today's show. We're still looking for partners, to partners with us for our gift giveaway that starts tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I have a number of people who've started calling, but I need to reach out to some franchises still to see if they're willing to participate with that. Mm-hmm. Definitely people from pop-ups, right, who have products and they want to have their products promoted, you know, give their business card. They can always call us and say, hey, I have one or two products I want to include in the gift giveaway as we celebrate Christmas and march towards Christmas. And perhaps because of shorter time, we may have to continue it after Christmas to make sure everyone participate by calling in and participate in the game show.
Mm-hmm. While
game show.
Christmas is sort of the central celebration in the holiday seasons, we know we have people who are not, we have listeners who are not Christian, right? We have Rastafarian audience members. We have Jehovah's Witness audience members, right? We have Muslim audience members. We have Jewish audience members, right? We have we have people who celebrate Kwanzaa. We have the Coptic Christmas differently, right? Because they celebrate a Charest,
yes,
and a Christ consciousness, right? They celebrate differently, so their Christmas celebration is different from ours. Let's not forget Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, right? All mm-hmm. And so we can extend it beyond Christmas for
yes.
those who Christmas is in the central religious practice.
Yes. Today's conversation, and of course you can reach out to the studio and or call me, text me and say, Niri, I want to participate and I want to donate a gift so we can distribute that and have the competition. So we're still doing that. But today's conversation is what caused Bahamian men and women to pause and pause to respond to the issue that happened on Blue Hill Road across from St. Barnabas Church, opposite the gas station. As the woman came off the bus, a man brutally attacked this woman who is not known to him. Apparently, he has mental issues, whatever it is. But the problem here is that nobody came to her aid, except that one person. But I'm not talking about that one person right now. I'm talking about the persons who record, viewed, watched, stared, gawked at. I want to have a conversation about that. What would cripple a society? What would cause people to tarry? What would cause women who would be afraid of a roach but would have 500-pound men and will get in their face and challenge them, unconcerned about their welfare, because this is what women are prepared to challenge. What would cause a society of Bahamians to say they are not intervening? Mm-hmm. And I want to have that interrogation, that conversation, but also I want to read some text to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then have you respond, even have you read some of the text too, and have you respond and analyze what exactly went wrong or is going wrong with us? Are we broken? Are we broken? And if we are broken, can we fix us? Mm-hmm. Or is this the new normal that women
mm-hmm.
and children and the elderly, and put all in brackets, vulnerable Bahamians, do they need to get used to this new Bahamas? That there is nobody out here who will assist us.
Your opening prompted me to ask the question, what happened to the Baintown woman? Producer, you still have Baintown woman by Pat Ramming? What happened to Baintown woman?
A special type of Bahamian woman.
Yeah.
The women them who lead the charge of the Progressive Liberal Party, the fight for independence and the fight for a majority rule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those Andrus women who are big and broad, those Kent Island women.
Those Acklands right? women like Una Hasty Prosper and Veronica Lotmore, my Grammy and my grand auntie.
Mm.
Right?
Apparently, our women are now demure. So I can use that. Mindful.
Be mindful. Yeah. Be demure.
Let me read this to you. I don't want you to respond to this. Like I said, I want to understand what have we become. What was the reason or for the delay?
Mm-hmm.
Or we return our eye for someone else to take charge. Say, okay, I can't do it, but you can go and do it. Okay, this is from a Facebook commentary, right? It says, I listened to the taxi driver who filmed this assault and thought about getting out of his car to assist, but decided against it. Why? For one, he did not know if the guy had a gun. Two, it was possible the guy could shoot and kill him, and this woman would be right back with this guy next week, his words, meaning his sacrifice would have been wasted. These considerations are both natural and legitimate concerns. I do not blame him, and everyone can call him and other men what they like. It's their life, and they decide when, where, and for whom they risk it.
Okay, like, please stop. I feel compelled to say something right now.
Yes, but hold on. Two more lengths, Aaron. You cannot call men talk the problem, then expect them to be heroes who come to the rescue when you need them. I will not film. I may call the police, but I also will not intervene. Just like all of you here being critics, you would not have intervened either. Now you can go ahead.
First of all, I mean, I'm glad that that's a broad statement, because I would have intervened. Did a taxi driver film that?
Apparently it was a taxi driver.
Since we painting with broad brushes, right? Since you've brought a broad brush to the class texter, you mean the same taxi drivers? Like, is that why taxi drivers don't moderate the behavior of other taxi drivers? Because you're afraid that your peers and your colleagues may act violently towards you? That's why easily seven out of 10, and I'm being conservative, is that why easily 7 out of 10 taxi drivers ignore traffic controls, like how you're not allowed to turn right on red? Where is the bravery now? Right? See, the taxi, y'all are a body. Y'all are a group, right? Since you brought the broad brush to the table. Y'all bold and bad enough to run red light and stop sign and risk put, to cuss off people while they just doing what it is they are supposed to do by law. But you want to bring this diatribe to us about how, you know, it's so risky out there interacting with Bahamians. Oh, Lord, let me tell you how risky it is interacting with y'all.
Let me read this.
That's offensive.
Let me read his next text. This is by a woman, by the way. The first one was by a man. And again, I wanted to interrogate our psyche. What we thinking? What caused us to tarry and stop and did not assist this woman? I need to understand this new Bahamian. Why don't we intervene? And that's what the conversation about. I need people to call in and say, this is why I won't help anymore. I don't want nobody to help me. No, Aaron, I don't want nobody to help me at all if I was attacked. And like this where he was randomly attacked, like the 70-odd-year-old woman who's randomly attacked, should we expect nobody to help us? Should we say we can call the police and we tell the police come an hour later, half an hour later, and that suffice? We close our door and hear the screams and ignore it and say that's a police matter. Okay, let me read this text from a woman. Right. So what you're telling me is that in this day and time, the expectancy is for someone to rush to that situation in defense of the female. Try hard, call the police and hope for the best. Buddy, I have seen for myself and heard of many times where the hero lost their life and the female taking food to the prison for the assailant.
I've seen that post, I've seen that comment like 75 times already. You know, they call it copy pasta, like people sharing it because it's their sentiment, but they're not bold enough to say it themselves.
Continue and say, it's a very sad situation. Ain't gonna be my husband saving nobody to get mashed down in the street and have family home to live for. And to y'all, this is what we come to. Comment. I hope if you was driving past, you would have jumped, put up with your family member and help her.
I was in London. I was living in London and going to school one time, Mr. Newry. And I was by myself going to the movies, like walking through Trafalgar Square somewhere near there. I was going to the movies and coming back. And I got bumped, right? When I turn around, there's an Indian guy and a Chinese Asian woman walking together, couple holding hands with this. They've been circled by a group who I presume were Chinese by them, and they were attacking them. And that's how I got hit, right? Well, that day I was a Jamaican. Mm-hmm. Listen, I want to say to my Caribbean brothers and sisters, thank you. Because every once in a while we need y'all, we need to mimic y'all. Because ain't nobody know the Bahamas like that. But when I started a bomba this and a bomba off their belts, I pull off my belt and I start whapping. You can hit me or let's start hitting people. Look at one Chinese boy, look at me in my eyes. And I put on my best Jamaican accent for him. Ask him, what is he ready to do? And I think they took their nerve For real. But what it did was it drew enough attention to the situation, right? That they could now see that it wasn't just 10 people watching. It wasn't just 30 people watching. It was 200 people watching what was happening. And they stopped. I just don't know. Some people just born different. And that's okay. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But do not create an environment that suggests that there's only people like y'all in the world. Why are you trying to make more people like y'all so you could feel better about the position that you've taken? What if it's not the majority that feels that way? As a text member, okay, that's more of a political text. I get back to that one text.
Go ahead.
What are we talking about, please? Was there an incident? Yeah, there was an incident.
It's trending, so eventually you'll get it. Let me read this thing.
That's a much earlier text. It says, vape pepper spray is illegal.
Yes, pepper spray and tasers are illegal in the Bahamas.
Is having pepper spray illegal? Yes. I mean, so is like raping people and like the type of violence. They're putting an equal amount of effort into stopping both crimes.
Mm-hmm. And this text says, I remember Petra Curry and how we watch her man juke her. Juke her again and again after beating her in broad daylight. And I remember how we watch her man jumped in his car, U-turned, and ran over her. People watch. No one intervened. We just get mad at the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that video, right? Of, I think she even had a baby in her hand, right? And her man, for whatever reason, like, intended to unalive her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then after he ran off, he jumped in his car, do a U-turn. Because mind you, people assumed that she was dead or about to be unalive there. And he did a U-turn and came back and ran over her. And I'm saying that women seem to be under attack, and I'm not sure we're hearing the cries loud enough. I'm not hearing people protesting and angry and voicing. I'm not sure if I even hearing politicians saying enough is enough.
We also don't understand what it takes to be able to protect yourself or keep yourself. Some situations a person cannot solve on their own. A man is stabbing you while you have a baby in your hand. What are you supposed to do? Use the baby to protect you from the knife?
You remember that UB census when he's interviewing
the 10th graders and the 12th graders on attitudes around
dating and disciplining,
intimate partner relationships, interpersonal conflict, and gender-based violence and domestic violence?
Remind us of the conclusion.
The young people's a significant portion above the majority of young people said in one instance they think it is acceptable or it is a man's role to discipline his partner in the relationship.
Now, what do you mean by discipline?
Like
partner?
He could beat them. He could beat her if she has gone beyond his perceived rules of the relationship in life. And we're talking about married people. You know, they're talking about people who dating.
And these were young people. Were these just men? Were these just boys?
Men and girls shared similar sentiments and similar numbers, right? Both young men and young women believe this and are perpetuating these beliefs.
So we now have a culture, since there's a majority of people in the census, we have a culture of young people who believe it is the man's right, duty, to discipline the person they're dating. If the woman, the female,
embarrasses them, if they feel discomforted by their actions or their beliefs, if I feel like she's thinking something that goes against what I believe, I have the right to beat her.
So remember the question today or the conversation I'm having today is why there was a delay, why nobody got involved. But if we have a culture that's saying that it's acceptable to discipline your spouse, discipline your other males have that job, that's their right.
See, but here's why the average is not satisfactory. A lot of people presume that that man who was beating that woman yesterday, that they were in a relationship.
Yes, I've seen that.
Did anybody stop and say, like, what if they're not in a relationship? Like, what if this is just random?
And apparently it is random. Apparently, she came off the bus to mind her own business, and the man just tripped and attacked her. And in that video, we see another man coming off the bus, and he stopped, and he watched, and he apparently said nothing. He just watched. Can he be a victim of saying, man, he must be disciplining his woman, and she had to have done him something. And this same issue where, because there's violence against women, Bahamian women now, where there are a number of men thinking that they can unalive their spouse, their significant other, mm-hmm. because they wronged them in some, or they think they were wronged in some way.
And it's all over Bahamian popular music. There's a song that I like the rhythm it's on. I want to play all the songs, but I can't play that song because the song references you got to stretch out your gal. That means you got beat her and discipline her, you know.
That's what stretcher you get, I mean.
That's what that means. That means you get beat and discipline. That's what that means. And so I realized that a lot of parents don't realize that their kids are saying things directly in their face that are indicators, right, that a problem exists. Your children are repeating lyrics that say that a man has to discipline his partner with physical violence, and because it just says you got to stretch out. Y'all don't say, you don't know, you're not aware. And it's just entrenching these attitudes. For I like the premise of the song. I like the rhythm it's on. It's Bahamian. It's all Bahamian. But I cannot play the song on the radio because of the lyric and the lyric in the context, the broader context of the song.
Do you think we have a problem? And when I say we have a problem, I mean that there is a need, a national need to respond to it. See, if there's no problem, there's no national need
yes,
to respond to it.
Yes, in fact, and so let's go back to that song for a second. I didn't really want to identify the singer because I don't think the singer intends to perpetuate violence, right? That's not what the singer is doing, but that's what we can unwittingly do if we're not engaging consciously, right? The song is about red gals. And we have this narrative that has rooted its place itself in this place that
red guys bad.
Right. They like obey a woman. Like they deserve the punishment.
Good, now, good sense.
Right. Now watch this. There's an element of funny to it, you know. It is not being done to perpetuate violence. The lyrics, the songs, the jokes are not being done to perpetuate violence. But there's an unintended consequence of perpetuating this culture, right? There's an unintended consequence. And that's, and see, here's the next thing. Everybody could attempt to remove themselves from this incident we're talking about, you know. But let me tell you this. If you use that phrase CYC, and you delight in it, and you rejoice in it, and you defend its use, you are also a part of the problem. Because you may not be aware of what happens when you use that language, but the term in and of itself is rooted in a denigration of women. And so every time you use that term, you are reinforcing an environment that inherently disrespects women.
I know you've testified or give commentary that you would have intervened. We know you're kind of crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
You would go to
the no good.
But I have texts from other women who claim they would intervene and said, Aaron is so right. The social contract is broken. The texter, who's a woman, I have approached young men who are aggressively harassing young women in public spaces, and only after thought about possible consequences in today's world, I hope I never lose my humanity. There are senior, this is a matured woman, mm-hmm. like a retired woman. There are matured women, 65, 70, who will approach any man, big, bold, brash, strong, criminal-minded man, and say, no, you will not talk to her. You will not touch her like that. And will risk all. How come that generation of women are still prepared to risk all? But this young generation, when I say young, I talk about 45 and under or 50 and under, are saying, I'm not even going to let my husband come out the car at all.
Because one of the consequences of the drug era is that we've been convinced that we could solve problems with money. But Bahamians who've grown up at a time before there was this grand access to money understand that you can only barely patch a problem with money, but you cannot fix it. You certainly can't solve it, and you can't resolve it, right? But see, look at the culture. We have a government that has convinced us that patching roads is the same as paving roads, right? It's a cultural generational issue, and I think it's a direct symptom of the drug era. We have been convinced that we could solve problems with money. See, but it's deeper than that. I've been on a scene where if a partner, baby mother, baby father had been living together for 7+ years, ended the relationship, the woman is pregnant, the father of the baby reaches across police to punch the woman, and the police do not acknowledge that that's what happened. They don't charge the boy with battery. They don't charge him with assault. They don't even reprimand him, and there are witnesses present. I've been attacked by my family members, maybe not close family, but close enough, and nothing has happened. I've been attacked by state actors. Now, let's remember, the 2010 Domestic Violence Act expands the definition of violence to include psychological violence, right? Like financial violence, a variety of different types of violence. I've been attacked by state actors, people who work for the government clearly, right? State appointees. I've been attacked by civil servants. I've been attacked by agencies. I've been attacked by strangers. See, perhaps you have to live through it to understand how vulnerable you are in this society and how you must then prepare yourself and be ready to respond, if not for yourself, for somebody who is more vulnerable than you.
It sounds as if you're suggesting that our issue is cultural. And that violence towards women in particular, it's something that we have now accepted as something to ignore. So, man, they more like a husband and wife, and they rowing. I ain't getting into that because she can be with him tomorrow. Therefore, let him beat her after.
Not now accepted. See, this is the symptom of the drug era. Think we could solve problems with money. The violence never went anywhere. We come from plantation. The violence is a part of our lived experience. The problem is that people have used money to ignore what is happening right in front of their faces because they believe they could solve their personal problem with money.
When we come back, Aaron, from this break, we have tons of texts. I want you to go through those texts. I want to read this, another text that came through. It says, response to what we saw, the video recorded by apparently the taxi driver on that Blue Hill Road across from Simbad, but next to that gas station. The texts are crippled by fear, paralyzed with guilt, choosing to record, to give testimony, to make commentary, to blog for views, to document for life, for likes. Too many horns blew, too many horns sounded, as if noise could stop the madness. An entire road of people sat in their cars safely and watched a man beat an unknown woman like a drum. An entire road of people watched the road stunned.
Mm-hmm. Thank God, though, that somebody documented with a camera, because we have the face of the attacker. And hopefully that will help and aid in capturing the individual in case whatever CCTV infrastructure was not operational.
We're going to take this quick break, and then we come back, we're going to run through the text, and we try and understand what is it that causes the pause to us for Bahamians to cut their eye and move aside to let someone else come by and say, y'all assist, I'm not going to interfere, someone else got to do the job. What have we become? What is causing us to say, no, I ain't getting involved? And perhaps this is like a pandemic, systemic, right? A systemic issue that all of us are crippled in some way of standing up to correct wrongs. This is Guided Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We'll be right back.
Mary figured she was wrong, so when Turner said, come along, she marched like a soldier to the jail. But when she see inside that cell, her blood boiled up to her precious smell, Mary ran out hell on Turner.
Binder, this is me.
Oh.
Listen, I think that this Christmas, you should really get in the spirit of things. I mean, apart from the great prices, I think your customers would like to see more of you. So I think Now, you should greet your customers, some in the morning, some in the afternoon. I don't expect you to be there all day. Now listen. Now, you know red is the color of Christmas, so I think that you should be in a red tuxedo. You would be saying something, huh? Your customers would really feel like Santa Claus. Reach!
He could wear that red suit this Christmas. Sale ends December 21st.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, wait, just a hard day at work.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
But you know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Croc Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you. And your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. But we need your help. From November 4th to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300 on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Deep Grand Strand woman, lot in mind in a state of confusion. I say, Deep Grand Strand woman, lot in mind in a state of confusion. They always hustle in their mind, doing things they cannot understand. When payday about to come up, she smiles, says your price getting ready to buzz. Come Saturday evening.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, this is C.A. Nuri. Aaron Green is joining me. We're having a discussion on the culture of Bahamians now in terms of intervening, in terms of risking themselves to correct wrongs. We're talking about men in general who traditionally is the protector, who stands traditionally to assist and defend women and children. Mm-hmm. And we also talk about women who traditionally would have banded together to say, we will protect ourselves. And we now have a narrative of women saying, man, I don't want my husband help you women at all. Don't. We talk about women who like, if you have senior women who are 60, 70, said, no, I would still stand. I would still object. I would still speak out. I would challenge. But younger women, younger than 60, are saying, man, we ain't helping each other at all.
See,
I'm trying to understand what happened. What caused that? And I think some text lines will address and suggest the reason for it. And if there is a problem, a social problem that we're going through, is there a need to fix it, adjust it, address it? Or do we just ignore it and carry on as usual?
All right. Here's a text. This is why I feel like Bahamian men do not like Bahamian women. They'll go to the end of the earth for a bright or Spanish woman, but not us. Let's stop being cowards and become the superheroes men pretend to be. Exclamation point, question mark at the end of that text. Here's another text. Years ago, I was abused by my boyfriend, which led me to focus on healing from within. My mother's negativity made me feel unworthy, but I began affirming that black was not ugly, but a unique beauty. I educated myself and now use my confidence to help other victims. When I see my abuser, I feel sorry for him as he remained a little boy, even in his 60s. Thank you for sharing that, texter. Thank you for opening yourself up and sharing so other women may see that there are others out there who have survived. Here's a text. Hey, Aaron. Hi, Aaron. I know you have heard about those sick rap music that is degrading to women and lots of Bahamians listen to. So it's so sad that Bahamian musicians are trying to capitalize on creating the same kind of music. No, it's a bit more complicated than that. They're not trying to capitalize on making the same type of music, right? It's a place in a generation that has not quite yet experienced the world to understand how problematic the lyrics can be. We want to be easy with the blame. Here's another text. Great show as usual. This text is say, red women bad. Trust me. It is something we have to talk about because there's a colorism in there, right? And maybe it is an attempt to address colorism, a poorly articulated attempt to address colorism. Here's another text. The same thing that stops people from speaking out about bullies, perverts, and other wrongdoing that is obvious to everybody on the job today. Keep your head down. Fair. What will happen to me? Better them than me. I just had a discussion with my sister that there are some real women-hating men out there. Political correctness has sent them into hiding, but behind closed doors, they treat women like dogs. Read the story of the French woman farmed out unknown to her by her husband. The most frightening thing was not the husband, it was the numerous men who wanted to see more and wanted info on how to go about the act themselves. These men could only possibly see women as meat, and they're walking in society, some with nice suits, lots of money, and beautiful faces. Evil don't have a look, and it's everywhere. The story of the French woman, you can find it online. It's now well documented. A woman discovered, it's like just a happenstance. There's something that happened that led to the discovery of this footage on a man's phone. And it turns out that he has sex addiction and perversion issues. But he had been rendering his wife unconscious and then engaging in a number of acts and then documenting it and making the tapes available on the dark web. Here's another tech. I don't think that's what the line of that song means. Are you talking about the stretching? I want you all to really, really, for a moment, when you're listening to music lyrics, treat it like a class, like a literary class. Because if stretch is referring to a sexual act, sexual intimacy, then think about what it means to use that type of language. Another texter suggested that it is about sex. So what you're really saying is that you're going to use sex as a punishment to moderate the behavior of your partner. That's equally problematic, people. Here's another text. Morning. Ain't nothing wrong with helping someone, but go there in a crew and rush the beater. Ah, texter. An important point to make, right? Like if there are 10 of us, 2 of y'all film and 8 of us gonna step in. 2 of y'all film and 8 of us are going to step in. Here's another text. Instead of whistles for women, install ring cameras like an individual in West Grand Bahama, but I don't know that name, and so I don't want to reference something that I know nothing about. Here's another text. Good morning. We need to bring back putting these criminal faces back in the news and front page newspapers so we'll know who these people are to avoid them. Here goes to the government meddling in these things again. Oh, Ms. Nuri is a great text here. Read that one quickly. Text, so we'll take your number. Thank you very much.
Appreciate that.
Here's another text. If you witness a woman being attacked, you blow your horn, it has no effect. Do you keep blowing your horn knowing it's not doing anything? At some point, you got to realize the horn has no effect. But no, see here, now this is like a science class, right? It says what the thing is. You blow in the horn because you expect the horn to motivate people around you to do something. But if the horn doesn't motivate you to do something when somebody else blows it, why you think it's going to motivate other people to do something Our boy, another text that says, but seriously, where are the rape whistles the PM promised? Oh, Mr. Newry, it's a good line of texts there. All right. So
this text, I'm going to let you comment there. It says, the study you guys are referenced on the attitudes of young people suggests to me a reflection of attitudes in the home.
Yes. Okay, see, here's the thing. Where do young people glean? Where do they learn? How do they construct their idea? Remember the thing? Where'd you start using drugs, Jimmy? I learned it by watching you, Daddy. I learned it by watching you. Young people are modeling and mimicking the behavior of their elders and elder generations, right? And when you say, hey, I never used to do that, though, then you must understand that they see what you do and either they mimic it outright or they mold it into something that is theirs, but it's still taken from you. It is your action or lack of action. It's your words or silence that they learn from. It's the environment that they learn from. Whether you say something or not, whether you do something or not, they put the pieces together themselves. And why? Primarily because we've abandoned them. We've abandoned them and we've left them to make it up on their own. Mm-hmm. That's why. So from the prime minister straight down, we keep insisting that it's the young people that are causing this problem. They learn it by watching you. Oh, Mr. Newry. And the things that they're learning, right? Let's take it out of the realm of sexual violence. Where you think young people learn to run red lights and stop signs? Where did they learn that it's okay to ignore the law? They learn it by watching you. I stopped the day after witnessing a taxi run a red light on Bay Street at East Street intersection. And then a second and a half after that, the white woman run the red light, almost knocking down the police. I see a police officer. I talk into him. I tell him about the incident. He engaged politely. It was very polite, respectful. It wasn't dismissive at all. The citizen he was talking to say, man, Green, you should have been here a couple of days ago. An officer got knocked down. It's not knocking off. Is that not sufficient to cause us to question whether we need to moderate our driving behavior? I saw the most wonderful young man in the company truck yesterday. A generous soul. He might got to be a good guy. What was he doing? Letting people run out. You know, like you stop to let one person run out, come out this intersection, and then seven cars run out in front of them. And he was so gracious about it. He was such a nice guy. Absolutely breaking the law. Absolutely creating havoc on the road. Absolutely perpetuating bad driving. But he was such a nice guy. Such a handsome guy. He wasn't being hostile or vitriolic or anything. He's just breaking the law and causing chaos and, wrecking havoc. That's all. Where do people learn it from?
At home. But sounds, okay.
Broader than home. The entire space.
Let me ask
space.
You that.
Yeah.
At one point in time, one of the prime ministers created Volunteer. That fell short.
Volunteer Bahamas?
Yeah, something like that. That fell short. It didn't come off.
Yeah, because it wasn't a grass. It didn't start at the grassroots and work its way up.
I'm saying now we have identified a problem, a social problem, a cultural problem, or something that is becoming cultural, something accepted as the norm. Right? We are acknowledging that behemoths are becoming desensitized to violence against women, violence against children. We've seen the output now for the 70-year-old. And the young child. We see it. It's there, right? It's on the news for 2 weeks, and after that cycle, it's gone. We don't really care. We don't want to mention it no more.
Man, why are you talking about it? It's
why
uncomfortable.
Still, we already finished it. That's last week's news. We moved on. What can we do? What should we be doing? And that's for the last couple of minutes, I want you to give commentary on what can be done. What should the government be doing? What should social services could be? You know, they're getting a new complex on Bernard Road now, social services? Next to the magistrate court, the old success, whole big, they have an opening today. Whole big building, and it's been family court. It's a family court. They have social services attached to the family court, whatever it is. Beautiful complex. I'm asking, what should all of these partners?
Okay, this is a perfect example, right? Like, what can the government do? First of all, the government needs to be aware of itself. Because watch this. They're going to put a series of government agencies in that space, right? There's a magistrate's court, supposed to be social services, and I imagine a couple more, right? Which means that that new operation is going to increase traffic in that area, right? It's going to change the dynamics of how traffic move in that area, moves in that area. Have we heard, or do you think we will see any policy statement, any public declaration that the road traffic unit in the Royal Bahamas Police Force is aware of the change in dynamic in that area and will ensure that resources will be put in place to ensure proper management of traffic? You know what that is? That's called structural violence. That's what it is. You know that you're changing the dynamic for the people. You know you're going to make it more difficult for the people. You put no V8 that difficulty or to mitigate it or to provide protections or better options for people. That's structural violence. Does the government have a role to play? Of course it has the role to play. First, it could start off by becoming aware of itself, examining its own procedures, and understand how the ways in which it works perpetuates violence in the community. It perpetuates existing violence and different types of violence. Let's start there. Like how not being concerned about paying people on time can result in a dynamic in a home that results in financial violence, psychological violence, physical violence, right? These are the things. Let's start with the government becoming aware of itself, understanding its role in eradicating violence, its role in creating an environment in which people could do it for themselves. We start right there.
So at least we have a beginning.
We start right there.
We have a beginning.
We got another text, too.
Yeah, read the text, man.
Text says, unfortunately, we now live in a world where our leaders expect us to do as they say. Remember, a sitting member of parliament bragged about beating a former girlfriend while he was in the House of Assembly. A sitting MP was before the courts and he round the place talking about he's the PM of Abaco. Before the courts for, you know, serious charges. Which he's been acquitted, right?
We have former politicals who've been accused of beating their girlfriend during COVID with lockdown and they still will run.
Man.
The audacity. See, you remove yourself. You say thank you for your service, but realize you know are no longer qualified because we remember.
If we didn't only have 2 minutes left, I would have remembered some things I wanted to remember a long time and called some names I just have to remember not to call.
No, you can't be calling people names on the radio.
That's what I'm saying. Are they?
This isn't you. They like me. Everybody likes me. If you want to say things, throw it away. Urkel likes me. Urkel likes me. They say, look at that air green.
Listen, I want to say to the gentleman last night that thought that he was going to be able to slip over Okra Hill onto Potoski using the first exit from Potoski. Look at you now. Look at you now having to put on your reverse light. Like, how many of y'all will insist on demanding we accommodate your criminality? During the last 48 hours, I can't tell you the number of people who shouted at me because I didn't help them break the law on the road. You got to be bolder than that. You see what I'm saying? Because you all out here breaking all kind of law. Like you all are big bad people. But then you want to turn around and convince us of how difficult it is to do what you know you ought to do when you know you ought to do it.
I want to close with this. The other day, one group had 6 people and 1 drum heating up. And they had to cancel their jumping practice. I laugh at that. What Vaughn last name is? Vaughn Albury said some things on the radio.
He wasn't talking about disparity.
I don't know, but he said the group wasn't drum being either.
Don't mind that. We're still this greatest scrap group in the history of jungle white people in the whole world.
Vaughn Albury can't be doing things like that, man. I did laugh, though. That's a famous quote. Remind me of the goat and the sheep. Three goats and one.
A bird?
And a bird.
Right. Three birds and a donkey. No, 3 birds and a goat. And the t-shirt goat. Was 3 birds and a donkey.
Yes. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much again, Aaron Green. Again, tomorrow we start our giveaway.
Yeah.
Right? And that's our march towards Christmas. We're going to be giving out giveaways every day until Christmas. Hopefully we have some shows in between that too.
And then past Christmas. So up to Christmas and then after Christmas, a couple of shows.
Yes. And the schedule is out for who I'll be, which talk show host will be on and off for the Christmas.
Oh yeah, so the last day of live broadcast is Christmas Eve. Your show is the last day on
New Year's Eve. No, anyway, we gotta go. We gotta discuss that. I think it's New Year's Eve of my last show.
Ooh, not in life, eh?
No, no, no. I talk about for
the year.
For the year.
2025.
Yeah, I'm the last show.
Yeah.
Are you famous? They're important.
Let me $100,000.
I need to get it from somebody
else. I can pay you next year.
This has been Garden Radio AM with TA Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
I can pay you next year.